Hi, this is Paul Puckett, and welcome back to Getting There, the money show that focuses on your life. We're going to open today with a reminder. You've heard this if you've listened to the show, particularly the first few, of how I put together the show and why I do it the way I do it, because it's relevant to today's overall topic. So just as a reminder, this show is spontaneous. Very little pre-planning, except for picking some music about an hour before I do the show. And the reason for that is because I believe that it allows the spontaneity allows the show to lead to whatever we're generally thinking about based on what I see in social media, what I hear from my friends, the conversations at Starbucks. I want the show to be current with information that you can use to remind you that money is not your life, or at least it shouldn't be. There was an interesting, unrelated, but amusing post on Facebook this morning that I wanted to open with just for fun from a friend of mine who's a dog lover. And it sort of, in some ways, supports the concept of money not being your life, or at least it shouldn't be. So what would your life be, right? And we got a dog lover. So I'd like you to picture, since this show is audio only at the moment, I'd like you to picture the backside of three dogs, specifically three dogs with their tails wagging. I probably shouldn't have started off with the backside of dogs. Sorry for that visualization. Now I'd like you to picture three dogs with their tails wagging, and your view is from behind. The post says, money can buy a lot of things, but it doesn't wiggle its butt every time you come through the door. You know, Harry liked that, my dog. And so I thought I'd share it because money can buy a lot of things. It's interesting. My mission originally a decade ago, as I noticed wealthier people having fears that just didn't make sense to me, still don't in some ways, but do in others, was maybe the issue is all the gurus out there on the spiritual, psychological, philosophical side seem to talk about our spiritual life, our physical life, our, you know, have a balanced life and the components of a balanced life. Money seems to be left out. And so I thought money should be included in a balanced life. I've come to the conclusion either that's just too big a goal for me to tackle, or that's not the solution. The solution may be recognizing that money is not a part of balanced living. Money is not a part of our spiritual, philosophical lives. Maybe money is just a tool, no different than clothing. It buys the clothing. It's just a tool. And recognizing that can reduce our focus on money so that we could therefore focus on life. The mission's always been getting people to focus on life. That's what I want to do on the show. Now, interesting thought today that has to do with the upcoming show I'll be doing as soon as I feel like it on decluttering. On decluttering. But, you know, before we go to that, let's take our first break and start with a little lesson from a little tiny bit of decluttering when we get back.
When you want the best in business coaching, life coaching, or perhaps your organization, business, or company is in need of a dynamic speaker for an upcoming workshop or seminar, contact Louise Hicks for L. Hicks Consulting Services at 1-562-310-1495. From anywhere around the world, that's 1-562-310-1495. For more information about Louise Hicks and her consulting services, visit her website at www.louisehicks.biz. Again, that's www.louisehicks.biz. Or call 1-562-310-1495. L. Hicks Consulting Services, where professionalism is top priority.
And that was was a little promo from Louise Hicks Consulting. I had the pleasure of being on Aimed to Purpose, she and her son's radio show, a few weeks ago. And I have to say, not only was it a blast to be on the show, but Aimed to Purpose and their format and what they are trying to do actually shifted my focus for the show slightly back to what I originally intended, which is not so much about money, which would be easy to talk about today with the market getting a little crazy the past few days. Incidentally, that's a standard characteristic of the market, so it's nothing to worry about. If your plan is set in place, you don't really need to make any adjustments. Just keep going with what you're doing. But decluttering. I'm going to be doing a show about decluttering. What do we do when we declutter? Why do we need to declutter? Well, we'll cover all that in full later, but the initial thought is because it's hard to focus when you've just got a boatload of stuff on your mind or a boatload of stuff in your house or a boatload of things you intended to do and haven't done. Clutter can be paperwork. It can be just stuff that you've accumulated, or it can be just too much on your mind. And so over the past week, I went back and consolidated all of my email accounts into one. I think they call it an email client. An email client sounds like somebody that pays to get your email. But no, an email client is something like Microsoft Outlook, Thunderbird, Mac Mail. There are actually a boatload of them out there. And so I've got this new Windows phone to help me declutter because I have to a certain degree, because of my profession, use Windows, Internet Explorer being a mandatory requirement for many different financial programs. So, you know, I go to a couple of email addresses I've had for 6, 7, 8 years that are not public email addresses, meaning nobody emails me personally or professionally on those email addresses. But I did subscribe to newsletters related to the websites where I set up those emails. But I don't think I ever really realized how much clutter that can create. So I go back. I go back and decide, let's take a look at these old email boxes. Each one had over 30,000 emails in it. You heard me correctly, just over a 5 or 6 year period. And evidently on some of these websites where I subscribed, I clicked the button saying allow other advertisers to email me as well. So for instance, there was one subscription that actually resulted in 73 daily emails. Now, had I been actively looking at those email addresses, I would, of course, noticed this and done something about it. But now that it popped up, I'm, you know, unsubscribing to all these emails. Now, here's what's funny. I don't think a single one of the emails I was getting was necessarily, you know, an email I wouldn't have interest in if I had time. They all pretty much were good stuff. How am I supposed to wade through all that? And should I even bother? So my method now is unsubscribe from everything except what I'm actually using. And that frees my mind up a little bit. Now, what we're going to talk about on today's show is how our mind works, why we may have difficulty focusing, and why we may have a reason not to focus sometimes. So let's go back. I'm assuming if you're listening to the show that there was a time in the past where you were born and you popped into the world as an infant, a baby. So I did a little research just to confirm what I remember learning. And of course, there's been a boatload, just an explosion of research over the past couple of decades on brain development and how we learn, well, to think, but also just how we learn. And it turns out the issue is not adding brain cells after birth. That's not the issue. We're actually born with most of the brain cells we're going to have. What we lack when we're born are the connections that think of it like a circuit, that connect the different cells of our brain. So how fast are our little tiny minds moving when we're born? Evidently, This is from MichiganRadio.org, from an interview they did with Dr. Jack Shonkoff, director of the Center on the Developing Child at Harvard University. For those of you in the Boston area, I apologize, I meant Harvard. 700 new neural connections are formed in a baby's mind per second for the first few years of their life. Okay? So, in other words, the architecture of our brain is not, according to Dr. Shonkoff, genetically hardwired. Our environment, this is a quote, literally our environment shapes the architecture of our brain in the first year of life, unquote. So a baby's problem is not a lack of brain power. A baby's issue is a lack of focus. So to become functional, what does that baby's mind have to do? It has to create lots of new connections from the experiences they have, so that they can filter out all the noise. I want you to think about that for a second. Matter of fact, I'm going to play a song to help you think about that. But let me just say it again. As babies, as we become children, and we learn to walk and talk and do all those magical things that we do the rest of our lives, we're filtering out things that get in the way. Basically, we're decluttering our infant mind from too much input, It sounds to me like Zac Brown may have had it right on the first song of his album, Something's Gotta Give, Quiet Your Mind.
Wishing I wouldn't get any older. They say that it's gone for you, know it now. Quiet your mind. Soak it all in. It's a game you can't win. Enjoy the feel the change going on all around me. It's strange how I'm taken and guided, where I end up right where I'm needed to be.
Quiet your shoulders. It's a near perfect day,
wishing I wouldn't get any older. They say that it's gone for you know it now. Soak it all in, it's a game you can't win. Enjoy the ride.
And that was Zach Brown, Quiet Your Mind. There's so many different messages in that song, good ones, that although I want to keep the focus, or the focus on learning how not to focus, message, just that last line, enjoy the ride. Also like the pause there in the middle, the musical interlude that starts with one instrument and layers instrument on instrument until it gets louder and louder and crazier so that he can say, hey, you need to quiet your mind. Because at the end of the water, this is from the lyrics, a red sun is rising and the stars are all going away. Key to this thing about dropping filters so that maybe you can either relearn. Remember, we did a show about how much harder it is to unlearn than to learn something. If you're too busy talking, you're not busy listening to hear what the land has to say. So what are we looking at here? You know, we have these minds that are very capable, but they're so capable, just to function, we have to filter out some of the inputs we receive. And that's fine most of the time, but what if we filter out things we should be listening to? We create clutter. We take in too much of the things that maybe we don't need, but we enjoy. And we filter out some of the things that maybe we need to listen to. You know, how can you hear what the land has to say if you're not listening? How can you hear what your internal, you know, soul, your heart is trying to say if you filter it out? So to get to where we may need to get, I realize grammatically English teachers are cringing, to go where we need to go, maybe the key is to go back to where we started, turn off some of our filters, see if there's something we're missing so that money doesn't become a problem in our lives and so that we use it wisely. It's just a tool, isn't it? So, okay, there's a lot of things in there, but what we need to learn is that some of the things that we have learned, we need to unlearn. We had a show on that, as I mentioned, and that maybe the way to do that is to initially quiet our mind and listen for those things that maybe we've been filtering out. There might be some important things for us to hear in there. You know, and it helps to go back and look at history when you do that. Here's what's interesting. Have you noticed how many movies are coming out? Magnificent Seven, Jungle Book, one of my favorites. And, you know, Hollywood seems to be just remaking things. Well, on the one hand, I don't like that. Don't we have new writers that have things to say? On the other hand, I do like it because it gives us another interpretation of something that maybe we learned from in the past. One of my favorite bands, heard them in Cockeysville, Maryland at their Hot August Blues Festival a number of years ago, is Robert Randolph and the Family Band. It is impossible, in my opinion, to sit still when Robert Randolph and the Family Band are jamming on stage. I thought they were a blues band. It was a blues festival, but technically they're a jam band, which means a lot of what they do is spontaneous. That's true in blues too. But their stuff is just really good. Well, they decided to do a little project a number of years ago. They decided to do a little project. And I want to play in a moment the song that they went back and listened to and then remade just a few years ago, because the gap between the original song and their new interpretation of that song is almost 90 years. There was a fellow way, way back, Blind Willie Johnson. He was born in Pendleton, Texas on January 25th of 1897. Passed away at age 48, if I'm doing the math correctly, in Beaumont, Texas on September 18th, 1945. So the anniversary of his passing is just a few days away since today, September 14th of 16, as you know. Well, Blind Willie, very popular in his day, blues man, did a song. And the song he did is If I Had My Way. If I Had My Way. Let's take a listen to, recorded in 1927, Blind Willie Johnson, If I Had My Way.
Well, if I had my way, I had a whole week of fun. If I had a hello just building down. Well, dollar was a woman, fine fair, a pleasant looker, a cool black hair. Dollar gained no sound to mine. I first saw the woman, I looked so fine. I went to Timothy, I can't tell. A daughter of Timothy, I played that well. The time I told his father, I'm going.
If, me Lord, if I had my way, well, if I had a wicked one, if I had a long time building down. Well, Samson's mother replied to him, can't you find a woman of your kind and kin? Samson, will you please your mother's mind? Go and marry Fatty for the last time. Let me tell you what old Samson, well, it broke at the dawn, the lion run. Samson was the first man on the touch, because Satellite got a pony line. Hey, written that he killed a man with him. There's something that been hanging in the night of jaw. Well, if I had my way, if I had a weaker one, if I had a long time. Well, I'd be a honey in a lion ever if I had my way. Well, if I had a wicked wife, if I had a lost child building down. So many thousand at the phone to fly, and not many days old sound was called. I find his hand was walking alone. I looked on the ground and found a little jawbone. He moved his own rope so far like three. Got those blades three, fell over dead alone. If I had my way, well, if I had a wicked way, if I had a low-tide building down. Well, some sun's dead before they never find out. Tell him begin to wonder about. I tell his wife that I'm on his knee. I tell me why she's straight alive, happy you be. Samson, why she you talk so fair? Told his wife to cut off his hair. Shave my head, finish your hand. Will it become man, that's your man. If I had my way, well, if I had a wicked wife, if I had a long time.
Blind Willie Johnson, If I Had My Way. There's a great website that I use fairly regularly I'd recommend for you. When you hear a song, maybe you learn something from the song, maybe you just like the song, maybe you just like the artist, called Song Facts, www.songfacts.com. So I was curious about this remake of several songs, I think a whole album of songs by Blind Willie Johnson. Robert Randolph and his producer T-Bone Burnett released this album a few years ago. We Walk This Road, which I highly recommend. And this is from Song Facts. What you just heard was evidence that I should turn off my email. So why don't, before we dive into this Song Facts thing, I get my email turned off. And perhaps this is a good time to talk about my favorite place in Bradenton. Hi, this is Paul Puckett. As you may know, I love coffee. My friends would tell you I don't love coffee. It's an obsession, and not just any coffee. Espresso. If you're in the Bradenton area, one of the jewels of Bradenton is Old Main Street, and you'll find a coffee shop, B-Town Coffee, with a great alley and awnings and fans to keep you cool in the summer and in the shade, free Wi-Fi, and quite frankly, the best hot dog in town. Stop by. You'll enjoy B-Town Coffee. You know, it's not just the espresso at B-Town or the hot dog, which I claim to be the best in town. I was there, matter of fact, day before yesterday, while my car was having its mysterious electrical problem that nobody can find. But isn't it nice to go to a mechanic who says, I can't find the problem, as opposed to, well, we decided to do $1,000 worth of repairs, thinking maybe, just maybe, we got it right. No, they actually looked the whole thing over, and they replaced a negative battery cable a month ago, and that was $27. And I should do a promo for them. It's Begley Auto Service if you're in Bradenton. They have three locations with auto repairs. The one I go to, Ask for Carrie, is right inside the garage and runs their shop at the Sunoco station on the corner of 49th and Manatee. It's nice to work with someone you trust who will not create a bill for the purpose of creating a bill. So we're still looking for that electrical problem. I'm sure we'll figure it out in the interim. I don't have to ask people for a jump anymore because I found one of those rechargeable air compressor USB power source devices that actually has jumper cables built into it, so you can jump your own car, which since that so far has fixed my electrical problem temporarily, I thought might be wise to carry. Okay. Please remind me, someone, we should have a Begley Auto Service free spot on the show because they do great work. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. And B-Town Coffee, get the espresso, get the hot dog. But so what I did is I dropped off the car and I walked the 2 miles in the Florida heat. See, it's a good idea occasionally to take advantage of car repairs to get back in shape. Slung my computer on my backpack, took a 2 mile walk downtown in about 85 degrees. A couple hours later, turned around, walked back the 2 miles in 92 degree Florida heat. See, I burned calories while they were working on my car, which was pretty awesome. Now, I hope I burned plenty of calories because, you know, after the first couple miles, I had a double espresso, did some work on the computer, and then I thought, man, I haven't had a B-Town Cuban sandwich in a while. So they also have the best Cuban sandwich in town. If you've never had a Cuban sandwich, you've never been to Florida maybe, and you're listening to the show in Canada, although, quite frankly, we become a Canadian province in the winter, which, in my personal opinion, is awesome because one of my favorite blues artists is from Canada. That'd be Anthony Gomes. You've heard me play some of his music on the show, and you'll be hearing a song of his here shortly. Is from Canada, Toronto. Anyway, getting back, see how easy it is to lose focus? Say when you turn your filters off and you just start rapsing philosophical? So, Robert Randolph and his producer T-Bone Burnett, this is from songfacts.com. To prepare to do the album We Walk This Road, they were working on updates from early blues men like Blind Willie Johnson, who you heard a few moments ago, with his song If I Had My Way. So, they all got together, but everything they worked on just didn't click for them. It just wasn't satisfactory. I mean, if you're going to remake a song and release an album under your name, you want it to be good, don't you? And Robert Randolph Band is consistently good. So they decided this initial work on this. We got a good idea, but this is just not working. So according to Robert Randolph, this is, I found it on Song Facts, but this is from an interview done on ArtistDirect.com. Randolph said, T-Bone, that's T-Bone Burnett, his producer, had this vision for these songs where he thought everybody should just come in and jam on them. We didn't know where they would go, but maybe something would happen, and maybe somebody will say something or play something that will then take us somewhere and just use everything around us as inspiration. So we get in there and start jamming, playing, singing, writing lyrics. But when they initially did this, leaving the quote now, it just wasn't good enough. So about 4 months later, Robert's talking to Ben Harper, who plays six-string guitar and sings. And he's got the idea, hey, Ben, quote, hey, why don't you come down to the studio? We're just hanging out and making some music, unquote. So Ben decided to do that. He went down and joined the Robert Randolph band. And the first thing he heard was If I Had My Way. Well, that inspired him. He got very fired up about the song. And so he just immediately went into the vocal booth, grabbed the microphone, and started singing the lyrics and then making up lyrics on the spot that matched. And the band's reaction to that was, Robert says, quote, wow, now we've got something to write to. Let's do this thing, unquote. So it ended up being the first song on the album because it really tells the story of the entire record. I just ordered it. I did not have this one in my collection. We Walk This Road. Now, when I say I ordered the album, okay, my daughters are giggling out there going, we know what an album is, Dad, but did he actually release it as an album? He might have. Vinyl is coming back. In this case, no, I ordered it electronically, which you can do too. I'll put a link on the website. And my apologies, by the way, we've been so busy with moves and selling homes that my website for gettingthere.life, that's for the radio show, at gettingthere.life is about 8 shows behind in updates. So by this next show next week, I will have the entire site updated. Clutter gets in the way of getting things done. I didn't notice until very recently just how far behind it was, even though I mentioned it a show or two ago. Okay, so what happens when you go back and you pick up this 1927 song, you turn off your filters and you decide, let's just use that song as an inspiration? Well, rather than tell you what happens, here's Robert Randolph Band, If I Had My Way, based on Blind Willie Johnson's 1927 song, If I Had My Way.
If I had my way, I'd tear the building down.
Robert Randolph Family Band, If I Had My Way, based on Blind Willie Johnson's song of the same name from 1927. Now, there's some talent in Robert Randolph's family. That included his sister and cousin singing along with him, but there's some other talent on that album. Ben Harper, of course, came in to join them and helped them suddenly have the inspiration to really get that song right. If I had my way, I'd tear the building down. Maybe we need to tear down some buildings, at least in our own mind, which is the point I'm trying to get to and where these songs sort of fit in for today. But he also had Jim Keltner. Now, you may not know the name Jim Keltner. He was playing drums for the song, but you've heard of the band Jim Keltner normally plays with. That would be the drummer from Bob Dylan. Tell you what, when talent comes together, amazing things happen, don't they? They really do. And what I'm suggesting as we prepare for, as I said, a guy once nicknamed the Lord of Chaos for my ability to clutter a room rapidly, an ability I've been working on and gradually losing, I might add, maybe we need to tear a building down. Maybe we need to look at the building we built and do some remodeling. You know, you're allowed to do that. Seriously. And the best part is, generally speaking, it doesn't cost anything except time, which, of course, oops, time is worth far more than money. So I guess I'm asking you to use what is one of the most valuable things you possess, time. But if it improves the time you have in the future, hey, why not? Why not? Why not consider the buildings you've built? Again, I'm talking figuratively here. And decide maybe there needs to be a little remodel. Open some windows. Turn off some filters. Listen to the land. Listen to the inspirations you have around you that maybe normally you filter out. Now, to help us along those lines, just hearing this name made me think I had a homework assignment. But a friend of mine on Facebook stuck this on this morning, and I thought, see, there we go. I needed one thing to sort of tie the show together. So, of course, what do I see on the post? I'll probably mispronounce it. My apologies to my, I believe, science or math teacher who first brought up this name, Blaise Pascal, or Pascal. French is my weakest, well, Chinese is probably my weakest language. I wouldn't even make the attempt, but French is the weakest language of the language I sung, was taught to sing in as a voice major. But anyway, yes. As a matter of fact, let's go ahead and get out the disclosure. I'll open with a different one. My name is Paul Puckett. I'm an investment advisory representative of Q1 Advisors, an independent registered investment advisory firm located in Virginia Beach and serving clients in Virginia, North Carolina, and Florida, where I live. I'm also an independent life insurance agent covering life, annuity, long-term care, and disability insurance down here in Florida and serving clients in Florida and Virginia. And I didn't major in business. My bachelor's is in voice performance. At one time, I was an operatic tenor. And my master's, to truly prepare me to work with clients, was a master's in music education. You wonder why there's so much music on the show, don't you? Anyway, Blaise Pascal, I'm going with that pronunciation. I want to make an observation. What I'm giving you here is from biography.com. Biography.com, but biography.com, sort of like LinkedIn, puts what the person did for a living right underneath their name. So Blaise Pascal was a theologian, philosopher, physicist, scientist, and mathematician. He was born in 1623 and died relatively young in 1662. He did some things that actually didn't make his list of skills or list of occupations: theologian, philosopher, physicist, scientist, mathematician. He also evidently dabbled into psychology. So maybe what we need to do, if we're going to turn off some of those filters and take a look at new things, is take a look at how he said we should interact with each other when we're trying, maybe in a disagreement, to communicate to somebody without them locking in so hard into what they believe that they don't listen. there's two places you, well, there's multiple places you can go with that. One of which, it's an election year, and so people tend to lock into things anyway. From a personal and professional standpoint, I can tell you one of my challenges is helping people unlearn what they've been told or what they're seeing in media or what their advisors in the past have done with their portfolio that maybe isn't helping them, maybe it's harming them. And so I have to be very careful how I approach it, because otherwise they'll dig their heels in and they're not going to listen to me at all. You may have the same problem depending on what you're discussing. So let's look at how Blaise Pascal 350 years ago. Here's what he said. The language, of course, being that old may sound slightly awkward, but I'm going to read the quote anyway rather than paraphrasing. This again from biography.com. Quote, "When we wish to correct with advantage and to show another that he errs," it's he, not because of any sexism, ladies, because ladies don't err. We know that for a fact. Okay, I couldn't resist. I'm having fun. Sorry. "We must notice from what side he views the matter, for on that side it is usually true, and admit that truth to him, but reveal to him the side on which it is false." He's satisfied with that, for he sees that he wasn't mistaken, that he only failed to see all sides. Now, no one is offended at not seeing everything, but one does not like to be mistaken, and I'll add, one does not like to be corrected, and that perhaps arises from the fact that man naturally cannot see everything, and that naturally he cannot err in the side he looks at, since the perceptions of our senses are always true. He added, "People are generally better persuaded by the reasons which they have themselves discovered than by those that were discovered by other people's minds." Well, you know, modern science doesn't refute part of what Pascal says, that man naturally cannot see everything. Actually, we're born where we naturally do see everything. That's why we have to filter things out, otherwise we're non-functional. Too much input, you can't function. So we have to filter things out and select what we focus on. But I find it interesting that what he's saying makes so much sense in the context of my own philosophy, which is the world is not black and white. We all see things through different eyes. And so is there such a thing as 100% wrong or 100% right? Probably on some issues, but in general, and even maybe on those, shouldn't we be looking more at maybe what I'm filtering out? They didn't filter out. They filtered out some of what I'm looking at. And in reality, we're all looking at the same thing. We see it differently because of how our own minds work. And that's why what I'm suggesting is, whether it's your investment portfolio or anything else, maybe we need to take a slight step back and make sure that we quiet our mind, as Zach Brown said, and begin looking at, am I seeing what I should be seeing when I look at any given situation, when I look at an investment that an investment advisor recommends, or when I look at, you know, a travel plan or what I want to read? Maybe I need to broaden my horizons. Maybe I need to look at this building I built, as Blind Willie Johnson and Robert Randolph say. Maybe I need to tear the building down. You know, maybe I need to refilter things. It's just maybe time, or however old you are, to take a step back. It might de-stress you to take a look at things in a new way. Now, if you're going to do that, in addition to quieting your mind, I think you may need to get back to where you started. Yep, you guessed it. It's a song.
Pills, I don't need a prescription. Hard to have a
The actual title of that Anthony Gomes song is Back to the Start. Find it interesting that to get back to the start, he chooses to follow his heart. And I suspect that's not just because it rhymes. You know, we have a mind. 700 new neural connections per second, as we said at the beginning of the show, according to Dr. Jack Shankoff of the Center of the Developing Child at Harvard University. You know, our brain is busy filtering out things, but maybe our heart still listens. So maybe the way to get a balanced life is to use both. Back to the Start, Anthony Gomes. Anthony Gomes, incidentally, is on tour. And if you are in the local area, Bradenton, Florida, you can hear Anthony Gomes live at my favorite venue in the area for music, Aces Live, near 79th Street. I like to say the corner of 79th and Cortez, but technically it's not on the corner. There's a 7-Eleven. And immediately behind that, Aces Live. I will definitely be there one or both nights. Okay, let's try to wrap up this stuff we sort of created today by starting with what I said earlier. Blaise Pascal on biography.com is listed as a theologian, philosopher, physicist, scientist, mathematician, which sounds a lot like a LinkedIn profile where we put not who we are, but what we do by job title. Maybe we should think more along the lines of who we are and what we actually do as opposed to job titles. Maybe we need to get back to the start. And to do that, like Zach Brown said, we open our mind. Maybe if we had our way, we'd tear a building down from both blind Willie Johnson and Robert Randolph. And what we really need to do, in my opinion, and the focus of today's show, is get back to the start, reaffirm where you currently are, and maybe add some things and take away some things that aren't really who you are. Why? What does that have to do with money, Paul? I mean, this is a money show, right? Well, yeah, but it's a money show that focuses on your life. We need to do that because when we're in what some refer to as cognitive dissonance, a headache-creating environment where we're in conflict, maybe what we need to do is get to the root of the conflict, because you can't make good decisions when you're conflicted. It's almost impossible to be happy and enjoy your life when you're conflicted. Now, in the scheme of things, we talked a little bit about the initial decluttering of my email inbox. Now, despite all the things I've unsubscribed to, over 100 now, I got so far, we have a couple minutes left in the show, but during the show, just for your amusement, I still received 17 emails, only three of which were either client-related or directly addressed to me. Seems like I've got a long way to go to get that email box clean. But, you know, during the song, I happened to pull up Facebook, and a friend of mine from high school posted something that I want to close the show with you getting an opportunity maybe to consider this so that you can make sure you're on the track that you want to be on. Here it is. This is from www.markandangel.com. Markandangel.com. Work to create a life that feels right to you, not one that looks right to everyone else. Well, if you're going to create a life that feels right to you, not the one that looks right to everybody else, I think you do need to take a break. Get out and enjoy nature. Maybe listen to music or things that you don't normally listen to. Make sure that who you are is who you really are. And although the regulators would probably disagree with this statement, I believe you'll improve your investment return if you are more balanced and more who you are. So it serves multiple purposes. Now, that decluttering show will be coming up in a few weeks. We're also going to be talking about long-term care and retirement, preparing for retirement, not necessarily purely from a financial standpoint, but how do you prepare for what I call the biggest transition that you survive of your life, moving from your working career to becoming retired. Have a great week. Smile, be happy, live your life. And if you think it's a good idea, maybe question a few things. Turn off some of those filters. Have a great week.